Okay, Carla, let's reconvene our meeting. And we're going to, do you want to read the item, please?
Do you want to do another roll call? Is
if
the mayor's not here?
Insist.
We will.
Adams. Fish.
Here.
Leonard.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Potter.
Okay. Can you please read the item?
Did you want both of these read together, Andrew? Okay.
Items.
994, declare intent to terminate local improvement district formation proceedings to construct street improvements in the Southwest 51st Avenue and Buddington Street local improvement district. 995, declare intent to initiate local improvement district formation proceedings to construct street improvements in the Southwest 53rd Avenue and Buddington Street local improvement district.
Okay, Andrew, take it away.
Good afternoon, commissioners. I'm Andrew Abbey, Local Improvement District Administrator. With me today is Sue Donaldson of the Parks Bureau. And I'm gonna walk you through these two alternative proposals. We're considering today 51st Avenue and Buddington Street and 53rd Avenue and Buddington Street. I wanted to start off by just giving you kind of a geographical overview here. I'm showing you a map of the far southwest neighborhood. You can see that the blue area there is the land owned by PCC Sylvania. That campus is part of far southwest. You can see far southwest, the rest of far southwest in gray. You can see Tiger is on the left side there to the west, and Lake Oswego is to the southeast there, kind of in a pink color. So the major arterials in the area are shown there, I-5, Barber Boulevard, Capitol Highway, 49th Avenue, and Lesser Road. The streets that are shown in green are streets that are improved to city standards, which means that they have pavement, curbs, and drainage. The dirt and gravel streets in the neighborhood are shown in red. They're virtually all adjacent to the project area, and you can see the project area is shown in black with the crosshatch in the middle. Other streets in the neighborhood that are substandard, which means that they're paved but do not have curbs or drainage, are shown in orange, and you can see those are in the southwest part of the neighborhood in the Lesser Road area. Finally, you can see the major road through PCC Sylvania, which is kind of that thick yellow line that runs along the north side of campus. The main entry to PCC is at the 49th Avenue entrance with a service entrance at Lesser Road. Just to be clear, there is no connection to the PCC campus from 53rd Avenue or any of the other north-south streets in between Lesser Road and Capitol Highway. And finally, there's two parks in the park sites in the neighborhood. One of them is Lesser Park, adjacent to the PCC Sylvania campus, and the other one is the future Sylvania park site, which would be included in the cell ID if it were to move forward. So in terms of the far southwest neighborhood, the entirety of the neighborhood was annexed to the city from Multnomah County in 1979. Fairly typical situation where the development standards were pretty lax when it was in Multnomah County, so the infrastructure was not built at the time of development. What's interesting is if you look at all the residential development in far southwest, 54% of the homes in far southwest were built while the area was in Multnomah County, but the remaining 46% was built after the area was annexed to the city. So the point being is there's been a fair amount of infill development and higher density since the area came into the city. And far southwest, that particular neighborhood has the highest proportion of dirt and gravel streets in the city. So almost 15% of the streets in far southwest are dirt and gravel. And then finally, those streets that are paved, they're twice as likely to be substandard and lack curbs and drainage. So just to kind of walk you through how we got here, I have been getting quite a few telephone calls over the years from the area adjacent to this proposed LID, where people had been calling me and complaining about the condition of their streets. So early last year, I held a large meeting at PCC Sylvania and invited everyone from the blocks where people had expressed an interest in street improvements. Based on that meeting, or following up rather to that meeting, I spent quite a bit of time making personal phone calls and contacts with everybody I could get a hold of to try to determine whether there would be interest in petitioning NLID. And based on that, I put together a proposal for 51st and Buddington. My feeling at the time that I petitioned it was that we had the opportunity to attract in excess of 40% petition support for the LID. Obviously, the reason we go through the petition process is to ascertain whether there is support for the improvements. I'll go through the petition strength here in a minute, but there was not strong support for 51st and Buddington, and there was an alternative 53rd and Buddington proposal. And then lastly, I took the city engineer out to look at this neighborhood, and his parameters were if we're going to do some street improvements in the neighborhood, there should be an improved connection to Capitol Highway. Finally, before I move on to the next slide, I do want to mention that there would be no third access to PCC Sylvania if street improvements were made. I'm going to go ahead and give you a copy of a letter from Portland Community College noting that they have no interest in a third connection. So here's the picture of 53rd Avenue. This is how it looked January of this year. You can see the street's in pretty atrocious condition. The left side of the street there is the future Sylvania Park site, also known as the Sylva Nature Area Park. Right side is our residential properties. Gravel was recently added to the street, but it is summertime, and my past experience has been that when winter returns at the potholes will return as well. By city code, the abutting property owners have maintenance responsibility for the street. So that means the residential property owners on the east side of the street, as well as properties owned by the park on the other side of the street, even if the property is undeveloped. The street was graded and graveled recently. The street looks much better today if you go out and look at it. My experience has been that those are temporary fixes and are usually not long-term. What I often find with LIDs is people try to grade and gravel them. They do that a couple of times, and then they go ahead and do the LID when it's clear that grading and graveling is not a long-term solution. This is Buddington Street at the other street that would be improved if this LID were to move forward. You can see that the stormwater is not infiltrating into the street. You basically have a little creek running down the middle of the street, and that untreated stormwater is running towards the direction of the future Sylvania Park site, which is in an environmental protection zone overlay area. So here's a map of the original 51st and Buddington LID. You can see that all of Buddington Street was proposed to be improved, and the connection to Capitol would have been on 51st Avenue, and a much smaller portion of 53rd would have been improved there on the left side of the map. The difference here with 53rd and Buddington is that 51st gets removed from the area of improvement. The eastern half of the block there on Buddington Street also is not improved, and much more of 53rd gets improved, and there's a paved connection to Capitol Highway via 53rd. Just kind of comparing these two project scopes, if the key block we're looking at here is looking at the block approaching Capitol Highway northbound. When you come up 51st Avenue, it's relatively flat as you approach Capitol Highway. 53rd is steeper. This is not with the benefit of survey, but per GIS, it's an approximately a 7% downhill grade as you approach Capitol. So you have gravel and stormwater and debris potentially washing out onto Capitol Highway. If we were to move forward with either of these projects, 53rd would be preferable to 51st Avenue, and I think almost everybody in the neighborhood agrees that if we were to move forward with one of these projects, 53rd would be a better project than 51st. It's less out-of-direction travel for the neighborhood, and as I mentioned, it would do a better job of keeping debris off of Capitol Highway, and it's just the more logical connection into the neighborhood. And again, I had the city engineer do a site visit. I asked him his perspective. He said, from his perspective, the project made sense. And again, if you're going to pave a connection into the neighborhood, this is a good place to start. Just comparing the project support on this, The 51st and Buddington LID, whatever its flaws, has the unique distinction that it attracted the highest level of petition support by amount for a residential property, to my knowledge, in the history of the city. So I think that when you look at petition support and the amount of dollars people are willing to put on the table, I think that's a good indication of the relative benefits of a project. You can see the numbers here in terms of petition support. It's a little bit skewed by the amount of government support, but the total support would be 60%, including the city-owned properties. If we were to remove the city-owned properties from both the numerator and the denominator in terms of measuring support, the support level is at 21.1% under an abutting linear footage assessment methodology. By contrast, the 53rd and Buddington LID would be on an abutting square footage assessment methodology. The petition support is a little bit less, but that's because there's a higher proportion of the LID being carried by the government-owned properties. So again, if you take the government-owned properties out of the equation, there's 47.1% petition support. So you can see we're pretty close to a split here in terms of whether to move forward or not move forward. We do have quite a few folks here to speak. I do want to note that this is a relatively small LID. There are 7 property owners that own 8 properties. So you will be hearing from people today that would not be part of the proposed 53rd and Buddington LID if it were to move forward. And I guess on a final note, I mean, I've been talking to the neighborhood for 18 months now, and I think it's unlikely that we would either get to a consensus to either improve the street or a consensus not to improve it. So that's why we're here today, is to have council make that decision whether to move forward. If we compare the project cost, I'm going to focus here on the property owners who did not petition in favor. Under the original proposal, the average per property assessment was $40,000. Under the revised proposal, the average assessment of those not in favor is $15,000. So there's been a pretty dramatic reduction in the proposed assessment for those who are not in favor of the original proposal. Tabling 51st and Buddington eliminates 12 out of the 21 properties assessments. So it does eliminate quite a few assessments on top of reducing them significantly for those who would still be part of an LID. And I would also note that the reduction in assessments is slightly higher for those who are not in favor as opposed to those properties that, whose owners were in favor. And that's just simply a uniform application of the assessment methodology. And everybody except for one property owner in the LID owns one lot. There's one property owner who owned 2. If the LID were to move forward, I just want to emphasize that nothing would be charged until the project was complete, so we're a couple years away from anyone having to pay for an LID. We would customarily, as we customarily do, would offer 5, 10, and 20-year financing to all property owners, including parks. And a state deferral program is also offered on all LIDs for qualifying property owners. What's a little bit unique about this LID is that we would be in a position to offer a low-income grant for qualifying property owners. Assuming that this grant were to be limited to owner-occupied homes, it depends on the level of participation rate, how much that might buy down the assessments. For example, at 100% assessment, or excuse me, 100% participation rate, it could potentially reduce residential assessments for those who qualified by 35.8%. At a 50% participation rate, it would be a 71.5% reduction in the assessment. And if it was a 36% participation rate, then it would be a complete elimination of the assessment for those property owners. The amount of the low-income grant is simply an estimate at this point. It would be a function of how much was spent on the project would be calculated at the end of the project. I would also just note that this summer and last summer, I've been building 4 projects that didn't move forward on the first attempt. Council's option at this point is to move forward with 53rd and Buddington or table it. If it tabled, then it would, by city code, be tabled for a minimum period of 6 months. But it could be repetitioned again in the future.
Andrew?
Yes.
For $15,000 over 20 years, what's the payment, monthly payment?
If you were, why don't I start with a $40,000 figure? Under the old proposal, $40,000 over 20 years would be about $309 per month. Under the revised proposal, $15,000 over 20 years would be about $118 a month. And again, that's not taking into account the application of the low-income grant or any of the other funding that might be available to potentially buy down that assessment. We encourage people to budget 6.75%. City's credit rating got upgraded recently, and what we found is when we do bond sales, we're getting good interest rates below that 6.75%. But we encourage people to budget conservatively.
Do you have any? Do you have any hard numbers, or is it just guesstimates in terms of the impact on the value of the property?
You know, I get asked that question a lot, and. There's so many macroeconomic factors that go into it, such as the status of the housing market, interest rates. If your neighbor, you know, starts parking six cars on his front lawn that doesn't run, I mean, there's so many different factors that will play into property values. What I would tell you anecdotally is a couple of things. I'm building a project this summer where the house was put on the market, and after a year of it being on the market, and keep in mind this was in a pretty hot housing market at the time, the house couldn't be sold because there was no LID coming to fix up the street. So what I would suggest to you is that street improvements do a good job of improving the liquidity of somebody's investment. So if somebody has to move or they fall on hard times, it's very common for people to have an easier time selling their home than they are if there's no prospect for the street improvement. And, you know, keep in mind there's carrying costs to, you know, mortgage and taxes and insurance until such time that you can sell a house.
If I might, just one other question, since I also wear the hat as the fire commissioner.
Sure.
At what point do you determine that the road is in sufficiently bad condition that there is a significant risk that a fire truck, for example, could not get access to a neighborhood, so that you've gone from a theoretical to an actual
Sure.
public safety hazard?
Well, I'm not a fire expert, but I know that on another LID, the key factor that we were looking at was just the number of homes that were being served by one access route, and I'm not sure what that threshold is. What I do know is that 53rd is really kind of the main entry point for a good portion of this neighborhood. Again, you know, you saw the pictures of the potholes there. I mean, if I were on a fire truck or, you know, driving an ambulance, I wouldn't want to be having to traverse those kind of potholes to get to an emergency response. Having said that, this neighborhood does not have hundreds and hundreds of homes that are being served by one access point. So I do not think it would rise to the level of, you know, improving 53rd as, say, a secondary access point. So the short answer is I don't know the exact threshold that would meet that criteria, but I think you have to look at the condition of the street entering the neighborhood.
Sue, did you have any remarks you wanted to make, or just here to answer questions?
I'm only here to answer questions. We're
I guess
support
I'd,
the project.
What's that?
I said Parks supports the
okay.
project.
What's the total project budget? I guess I didn't hear that.
Oh, the total project budget is shown in the resolution here.
Oh, okay,
sorry. I've got it split out there, but the total project budget is $501,000. There's $34,000 in overhead. Total project cost is $535,000. But the overhead would only be charged to Parks, as we customarily waive it for residential property owners.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions, Andrew or Sue? Okay. We have public testimony.
We have 19 people signed up.
Why don't you call them up at three at a time? We'll do 2 minutes.
2 minutes?
2 minutes.
Okay. The first three are Rich Peters, Beth Dahl, and Shay Conover. They'll be followed by Michael Conover, Steve Mining, and Andrew Clark.
Welcome.
Hi.
You could just give us your name for the record, and then you each have 2 minutes to speak. And there's a timer right in front of you.
Good afternoon. Rich Peters is my name. Appreciate you guys' time. I've only seen you before on TV. I've never been in this building, so it's kind of interesting to come down. Already saw one camera guy here, and I'm sure they can always get a story when you guys just leave the room.
I have a question for you. Does Commissioner Leonard look better in person?
Not touching that.
You don't have to answer that.
He looks older. Shorter.
I lived at 5216 Southwest Buddington for 5 years, and the potholes on the picture that you've seen are so deep you can't drive down there at times. I mean, you walk there to get your mail. And it just seems to me like this is all kind of about livability. I mean, just to come home and not have the dust right now in the summer, not have the potholes in the winter, and just have a clean place to live with some lighting. It's just kind of a basic, common, everyday thing. I just feel like we have a lot going on every day. And just to come out of your house and not hit a pothole, not have to worry about if your kid goes, I have two kids, if they go out at night, if you can find them or not, because there's no streetlights there right now that you can, you know, adequately get around. It, to me, I just want to keep it short and say livability, just kind of the basics of upgrading the neighborhood and living with pavement and lighting and no potholes, dust. Again, thanks.
Thank you.
Hi. Hello, commissioners. My name is Beth Dahl. I think you've all had some email from me. I hope you've all read them. Can I show you a few pictures?
You could hand them to our clerk here.
I took these yesterday, so they were just random shots. We do have a trail that people are able to walk down the street. It's a nature trail, and I was going for pictures of that, but in the meantime, you can see that the streets look nice. I mean, so I want to read this to you because I'm so nervous I can't just talk to you normally. So my name is Beth Dahl, and I live on Southwest Buddington. My estimated cost for my portion of the street would be $32,000, as stated as a low estimate. I'm the one with the two property thing. I purchased my house 4 years ago, knowing it's on a country road. I work hard to be environmentally friendly, recycling, upgrading my drain fields on my property, and not attaching to the storm drains. Also, we have a few other neighbors who have done the same with the drain fields they've put in themselves. I don't think paving one half block up 53rd Street and one half block up Southwest Buddington will help the city. If anything, it will divert more runoff water into the stream at the end of the nature park at the end of Southwest Buddington. The only water damage I've seen has come from the culverts installed by Ms. Green and the Conovers, which has nothing to do with the street. A rut in the street had formed over the winter, but in the springtime was easily fixed with neighbor involvement with gravel and grading. And I think you saw the picture of the rut, but it's no longer there. I invested my retirement money into my house. If you let the paved road go through, I will lose the front yard, which was a part of this property when annexed before the city came in. I'll lose my driveway, the landscaping, the trees, which have been there for the last 30 years. I refinanced 30 years ago, and I'm not able to take out any more money for the city and the city financing plan of $350 a month for the next 20 years for a street that would cost me somewhere in the order of $80,000. Once again, a low estimate. Does this mean my time's up?
Yes. We'd like to go a little longer.
So. The $350 a month is based on the current estimate, or is that the original estimate?
No, the current estimate of $350 a month for the next 20 years, okay, with a 6.75% interest.
So we face these issues all over the city. They're some of our least happy tasks. When you bought the house, and you know we get, I'm the transportation commissioner, and we get vicious complaints from Southwest residents about the fact that we have so many, and parts of North and Northeast, that we have so many dirt roads, lack of sidewalks, lack of curbs. The rest of the city, for the most part, has paid for their own streets, sidewalks, curbs, through assessments like this, or when the houses were originally developed by the developer. Unfortunately, Southwest was developed outside the city limits. I'd like you to comment on that, you know, where on one hand we get criticized for not providing for the sidewalks and curbs and streets. And then on the other hand, we oftentimes have good intentioned folks like yourself who are financially limited like we all are saying, not this street.
My comment being that the neighborhood has pooled together and are grading and graveling, and we're all happy the way it is. I mean, we don't have a problem. I mean, people walk on it. They do the trails. The trail path that I'm showing in those pictures, I've talked to people who said they would rather have it that way. It's a little dusty. There's dust everywhere. I mean, that's the only drawback. You know, we walk on it all the time. Alan, who's handicapped, walks on it all the time. And it's not a problem. So I don't understand where there's a need. I mean, the city doesn't need to put out all this money for something that we don't want. And we don't need. We have a street.
Okay. You're next. Please give us your name, and you have 2 minutes.
Hi. My name is Shay Conover. I live on the corner of 53rd and Beddington. I am a petition signer, and I am very much in favor of this LID. For me, it is not a matter of if the streets will be paved, it's a matter of when. My husband's family has owned multiple properties on this street for the past 40 years. They have been in favor of paving the streets each and every time it's come up. Back in the 70s, the cost started out at about $1,000 for each homeowner. That was when you could throw some asphalt down, rake it around, and call it good. Since that time, the issue of paving has come up on average every 5 years. The costs have gone up dramatically. The additional requirements of how it is to be done have changed, and everybody says we should have done it 5 years ago when it was so cheap. As we continue to get older, we are constantly hit with the 2020 hindsight. We should have bought that house, or we should have invested in this or that. I should have bought Google at $75. The cost of doing this project continues to rise, and history tells us it will never be cheaper than today. I would like to stay in our home. I'm a small business owner, and my office is less than a half mile away. It's very convenient. We would also like to continue to improve our residence, but have been placed in a holding pattern, waiting to see if our streets will be improved. Although we intend to stay in our property at least until retirement, nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow, so we need to carefully consider each dollar we invest in our property. We don't want to throw good money after bad. The streets are a pride of ownership issue to me. They reflect the general attitude of our neighborhood. Is our neighborhood going to grow and thrive, or will it continue to be repressed and die? It's time to step up to the plate and improve our neighborhood, and I urge the City Council to approve this project. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you for your time.
Next three.
Michael Conover, Steve Bining, and Andrew Clark. And they'll be followed by Jean Nations, Michelle Nations, and Ann Peterson-Meyer.
Welcome. As I said, if you could just please give us your name before you start, and you each have 2 minutes. We'll start with you, Mr. Conover.
Thank you.
Could you pull the microphone a little closer? It's on your right there. There you go.
Thank you. My name is Mike Conover. I'm a petition signer. I live on the southeast corner of 53rd and Beddington. Like Shay told you, we've been there for our family's been there for 40 years. We've owned multiple properties on the street. We actually owned Beth's house prior to her purchasing it. Anyway, I think it is basically an indisputable truth that paving the streets in any neighborhood improves the value of each and every individual property. The benefits that are available to everybody on the street, the Parks Bureau, the greater neighborhood at large, the city taxpayer are just indisputable. The issue that there may or may not be a value increase just has been studied to death. And I believe if you take two homes that are identical and place them in the same neighborhood, one on a paved street and one on a dirt street, there's just no question which one has more value. A way to illustrate this might be to ask the city council, when was the last time somebody came before the city council with a petition to rip out the streets in front of their house? It's just kind of a ridiculous premise. So saying that it's not a good idea to pave our streets is almost as ridiculous. We have kind of a rare opportunity here to let everybody walk away from this meeting today with a net benefit. The Parks Bureau is going to walk away with a benefit because this project fits like a hand in glove with their 2020 Parks Development Program. I had the opportunity to listen to the director of the parks speak about that program a week or so ago at the Portland City Club. It's a very interesting program. It will benefit our neighborhood greatly. And this street is part of that program. It will define the border of the eastern side of this park with a sidewalk for all of these people that are coming to visit our new park. It'll provide them with...
Conover, you're going to have to wrap up here. We're 30 seconds over.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, basically, I'm in favor of the streets, and I couldn't write the check fast enough.
Thank you.
Can I ask you a follow-up question, though?
Certainly.
What about the folks who say they just can't afford it to write the checks?
I don't believe there will ever be a time when there isn't someone who won't be able to afford it. I don't see how this time is going to be any different than 5 years from now or 10 years from now or 30 years from now. There will always be people in our society that cannot afford it. We just cannot stop progress waiting for 100% of people to get on the same page.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir. You're next.
My name is Steve Bining. I'm a homeowner at 5111 Southwest Buddington. I'm a newcomer to the neighborhood, and I just want to speak in favor of the resolution to terminate the LID for 51st and Buddington. I was surprised when I moved into the neighborhood that there was a LID going on. I didn't know when we purchased the house that was going on, and I don't really want to assume an additional tax load, property tax load, living on the street. So I just briefly just wanted to state that I support the termination of the LID on 51st and Buddington.
Thank you. You're next.
My name is Andrew Clark, and I own the house 11228 Southwest Capitol Highway. That's the one that's, I guess, being suggested for termination. I just wanted to say for the record that I'm not in favor of any LID in our neighborhood. I don't, like, you asked before about, you asked Beth about, you know, to answer that question for you, and I don't understand how some people believe that pavement is an improvement to this situation. It's not putting pavement next to a nature park it's not an improvement to me. It's just a waste of everybody's money. People haven't really got specific about the finance part of it, but when they were suggesting mine, basically, I got a letter in the mail that said it was going to be around $50,000, which is, there's 100 feet of property in front of my house, and it's $500 and some per foot, which to me, I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. Even if I had the money, which I don't, I would never pay that. It's not, when I moved into the house, nobody ever said anything about having to pay that, and you know, at the time, I didn't even realize what the property taxes were. I mean, it's only it's a 1,000-square-foot house, and the property taxes are already almost $3,000 a year. So, I mean, I'm not ashamed to admit that I don't make enough money to make $500 a month payments on pavement. I mean, my dad owns a business in Tualatin, and they tore down this this area in Tualatin, and they turned it into a parking lot. You know, and that's kind of just what this reminds me of. It's not, to me, it's just not an improvement. The cost to benefit ratio, I mean, I heard the parks were going to chip in a certain amount of money that was going to help pay for the part that's supposed to be next to the park, and that should be for the parks, not for pavement. So, anyway.
Thank you all. Next three.
Gene Nations, Michelle Nations, Ann Peterson Meyer. They'll be followed by Gene Hammond, Edgar Solaris, and Denise Whitney.
Welcome.
Hi.
Again, if you could give us your name, and you each have 2 minutes, and we'll start with you.
Thank you. I'm Gene Nations, and I own the property at 11434 Southwest 53rd. I actually do not live there. My grandchildren live there, and so this is a very important topic for me. My grandchildren used to live at the house that I live in now on 17th Avenue, which is people use it, and it is paved, and people use it as a shortcut to go from Bertha to Barber. So I know what happens when you have shortcuts. Young people speed up past my house trying to see how fast they can go before they get to the corner. It is very, very dangerous. So we started looking for a place that would be more livable for the children, and we found this place that was perfect on a dirt road next to a park, and moved the family there almost 5 years ago. It has continued to be perfect for them. I am not impressed with PCC saying they have no plans to have the street go straight into their parking lot. If you see any pictures of the area, you will know that that 53rd Street goes exactly from Capitol Highway straight to their parking lot, and there's absolutely no way that they are not going to have that be an entrance to their parking lot at some time in the future if it's paved. I talked to some people in a neighborhood who do gravel their roads. They turn down the LID, and they are very, very happy with it. They say that every 1 to 2 years, all the neighbors get together and have it graveled, and they say it's been happening so many times now, it only costs about $600 a year now. Divided up between all of those is practically nothing, and they love it. Actually, there's a few neighbors who don't want it because they don't even want that, because they see an increase in traffic just with that. But they certainly don't want it asphalt on it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I'm Michelle Nations. I reside at 11434 Southwest 53rd, which is an abutting property to the proposed LID. If any part of 53rd were to be paved, it would probably be only a matter of time before the portion of 53rd in front of my home would be paved. I feel that the city engineer will add our property to the LID as stormwater currently flows down the center of the road in front of our home. If the road were to be paved up to the property line, the stormwater would most likely undermine the pavement. I come here as a neighbor and as a mother of a child with autism. 5 years ago, when we were preparing for my eldest son to start kindergarten, just by luck, we happened across this wonderful piece of property in Southwest 53rd. We knew that this would be the perfect place to raise a child with special needs and a sibling. It would be our little piece of country in the city. Mind you, we would have loved to have lived in a rural area. We knew that living in the city of Portland would afford my son the therapy and type of schooling that he would so desperately need. As part of my son's autism spectrum disorder, he was deeply impacted by sensory integration dysfunction with tactile and auditory defensiveness. We took him to occupational therapy to help meet those vestibular and proprioceptive needs. Insurance coverage for the therapy soon ran out. At that point, I became my son's therapist. If you come to our property, you will see that it is my son's therapy gym. As long as we are able to keep up his home therapy, his tactile defensiveness is significantly reduced, and he's better able to participate in daily life. If the road were to be paved in front of our house, half of my son's therapy gym would be eliminated. If the road were to be paved in front of our house, it would become a financial burden to our family, as it would require me to work outside the home, which would be a detriment to my son's special needs. Living on the Country Lake Road effectively makes our property and the Sylvania Natural Area Park flow together. We also knew that being such a natural space would be so very important for our children and to foster their relationship and attachment with nature. We want to nurture our children to be effective stewards of our planet. Because of the electronic world that we live in, nature must be consciously and thoughtfully be brought into our children's lives. If the road were to be paved in front of our house, it would create a vast divide and the nature park would become less accessible. I live in my neighborhood.
Ma'am, your time is up.
Okay.
Thank you. But I just want to understand, is your properties are outside the proposed LID?
Mine abuts the proposed LID.
But outside.
Yes.
Outside, but they're talking about ending the asphalt right at our property line, which means that the water would, if there is any water that goes onto the road, it would flow there. It would cause a deep ditch right there, which would make it a lot worse than it is now.
Hi, I'm Ann Peterson-Meyer, and I'm property owner of 5135 Southwest Buddington Street. And I'm really nervous. I wished I would have written something. I think you guys all look better in person.
You're very kind.
Thank you.
You're my favorite so far.
Oh, thank you. I was born in 1951. I know I don't look it. But I was lived at that address ever since until I got married and moved out. Currently, my stepfather is there raising my great-niece, and it's really my intention to return after I retire, which I pray is not going to be too much longer, and to spend the rest of my life there. I've never thought of that neighborhood of having sidewalks and paved road. It's always been a gravel. It's never been as wide as it was. When I remember growing up, the houses across the street from my property, we called that the Little Woods. We used to camp out there. The Conovers on the other side, and all those houses upside, they didn't exist. That was just property. We played, climbed trees, and had a good time. I'm really concerned about the first proposal, which would, my liability for my bill would be $105,000, which, guess what, can't afford. I'm trying to save for retirement, can't really afford those payments. The second proposal brings the street up 50 feet into my property, and no offense to the author of the proposal, but I think that's a little schizophrenic. I don't understand what that's going to do except cause problems for people driving and the water runoff. My other question is whether or not the assessment is assessing me for my whole property, the square foot, for a benefit of 50 feet of cement. And another question I had was whether or not, what is the benefit to the park to have a street with no access to the park? So I guess what I'm saying is I oppose both proposals, and I hope you will agree with me.
Thank you. Thank you all. Next three.
Next three are Jean Hammond, Edgar Solaris, and Denise Whitney. They'll be followed by Jessica, I believe it's Gokshan, Charles Radosta, and Sandy Green.
Welcome. Please give us your name, and you each have 2 minutes. We'll start with you, sir.
Gene Hammond at 5125 Southwest Buddington. The 51st and Buddington proposal on February the 1st had 17 owners with 3 yes and 4 no votes, has now evolved into the 53rd and Buddington proposal. If the park wants all of the 53rd paved, it seems to me that the cost of the project to the park, the way it is presented here, would just about pave all of 53rd for them past the park. Without ever having anyone else be assessed for it. Anyway, I've been through 4 of these LIDs, 3 sewers and 1 street. The street was next to Jackson High School, which was Alfred Street. And at that time, which was about 1979, I believe, I asked the city at that time, how do we compete against the high school with all the property? And at that time, I'm sure that I was told that they would count our votes, and then the school district would go whichever way the majority was. And this here comes out with 70% for the park to start with, as I understand it. And anyway, we're against both proposals. We like the gravel road the way it is now. The traffic goes by slow, and we like it. Thank you.
Thank you. Ma'am?
Hi, my name's Denise Whitney. Take my glasses off here, I can't see. I'm telling you now that I am opposed to any paving on our streets. It doesn't really make sense to me to do two half roads, go up three quarters of the way of the park, and then go 200 feet up Buddington. I don't really see what that will be of value. We have, Gene here has a tractor, and we have graded and graveled our road. And I've sent you all in our packets that I know you've been received of how our road really does look nice. It's what we can do. Originally, there was 34 homes in the LID, the first one. Three wanted the road. Then there was 17 people. Three wanted the road. Now there's seven, and three want the road. I don't really see where the majority rules. It doesn't seem fair. And we would like to maintain our own road and by paving grading and graveling it ourselves. I would think the park could better spend the money on lighting, on security for the park, plants, or maintenance for the park. I would like to suggest real quick that you think about, if you do want to pave it, that you do like you did on the Holly Farm Park on the south side, where you paved half of it and then the homeowners have it graded and graveled, and where the walkway goes within the park. I would like to suggest that if you really do want to pave it, that you pave the city's half, which is the park, and that the three homeowners that want it pave their half. I really honestly think that is a solution to all of our solutions here.
So I just got an update on the Holly Farm Park. Apparently we've gotten a lot of complaints about doing exactly that. And so we have people driving the wrong direction to stay on the asphalt part of the street that wasn't the half of the street that was improved. So I just wanted to share that with you from our staff.
Well, I did talk to the two homeowners that live there, and they said they were never, no one ever contacted them about doing their half, which I was surprised about as much as we have been hounded. And they said they did check into it, and they said it was ridiculously expensive and they were not interested. So
no, I understand that. I'm just saying paving half the street is probably worse than just not paving the street.
Okay. Well, it's a natural park. It's just a nature park, and it just maybe a pathway through the side.
I got it. I just wanted wanted to share with you, right, the experience of Holly Farms has not been positive for PDOT, for transportation.
Well, I did talk to the two homeowners, so I just wanted to make that statement. Yeah. Thank you.
If we had contacted them, they would have said no, they didn't want
their
site.
They couldn't afford it. It was expensive.
I totally understand.
I cannot afford it.
I understand.
I cannot afford
it. I got it. I hear you.
Thank you.
My name is Edgar Solares, and I own the property at the corner of 53rd and Capitol Highway. And I am here to express my strongest opposition to the Southwest 53rd Avenue and Buddington Street Local Improvement Development. I simply cannot afford any money to finance such an expensive project, nor I want to be forced to acquire a debt in the form of a loan to finance an unnecessary project such as this one. On the one hand, I appreciate the fact that I'm given 2 minutes to speak to you guys and everybody else here. But I think hearing the different opinions and ideas that people have in favor of this project, I wish I had more time to be able to have an open conversation and be able to understand each other and see how paving the street doesn't really benefit a large number of citizens. And I think that any resources that the city has to spend in transportation, creating roads or anything that has to do with transportation, should be directed or invested in projects that will benefit a much larger number of citizens. One example that I have in mind right now is the number of bridges that we have in Portland. And it's come out in a research that bridges all over the country are not in great shape. And given the number of bridges that we have here in Portland, I think that any money that the city would spend on paving a road that we do not want to have paved, you know, that money can be used to keep up the bridges here in Portland that benefit a much larger number of our community instead of just a very limited number of individuals.
I just want to be really clear that we're not there is no $12,000 is what the city would discount this project, but there is no city resources that would go into this project. So if we cancel it, which is an option on the table, but it wouldn't save us any money to put towards the bridges. But I like the way you're thinking in terms of fixing the bridges.
Yep.
So yeah. I just want to make sure that I strongly oppose any LED on 53rd and Buddington. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you. Next three are Jessica, I believe the last name is Gakshon. Sorry. Charles Rodasta and Sandy Green. And they'll be followed by April Ann Fong, Marcia Leslie, and Ann Kinney.
Welcome.
Or Allen, maybe Kinney. Sorry.
Welcome. Alan. If you could state your name for the record, and then you have 2 minutes. We'll start with you.
My name is Jessica Gaccion, and I live on Southwest 53rd Avenue. I have lived in my house for my entire life. My great-grandfather built my house in 1947, and it was the first house in the neighborhood. I have always been able to enjoy the quiet serenity of living in this neighborhood. There are some days when I can spend all day out in my yard and never once see a car drive by. I have a 3-year-old daughter, 4 cats, and a dog that can play peacefully in this neighborhood as well. I don't have to worry about cars flying down my road like they would if it were paved. Since I have lived in my house my entire life, I had the luxury of knowing Mrs. Vermilia, the woman who used to own the land that is now called the Sylvania Natural Park. Her intent was not to have the city own this property. In fact, she donated the land to her church to save it from development. Mrs. Vermilia fought for several years along with the majority of the residents on 53rd Avenue to keep the road from being paved. I think the city should be grateful for being able to acquire this land and leave the park and the surrounding roads as a natural park as it has been intended. There are a total of 8 homes on 53rd Avenue from the original proposal. Only one of the homeowners wanted 53rd Avenue paved. Now, with this new proposal, still only one homeowner wants 53rd Avenue paved. All the homeowners on 53rd Avenue are happy with the way the road is, and we all choose to live in that neighborhood with a dirt road. The one homeowner that is pushing for this proposal chose to live on this road as well, knowing it was a dirt road. They moved to their home on 53rd after knowing it was a dirt road, and it does not make any sense to pave only part of a road to please one resident. This will cost homeowners thousands of dollars and cost the city an estimated $500,000 in park funds. I cannot see how the city will gain anything from paving only part of a road. All the homeowners on 53rd Avenue, with the exception of the Conovers, have put a lot of hard work into grading down the road and improving the road in front of their homes. I have never seen the city make any attempt to grade 53rd or fill in potholes. There is more than one solution to this supposed road problem. The city could spend 1/20th of the proposed budget to improve 53rd without paving it and spend the rest of the money improving more highly used parks. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just a note on that, we've had to cut $44 million out of the city's transportation budget over the past 4 or 5 years. We just got word that we have to cut another $1 million out of the current year we're in right now because of declining revenues because we rely on an allocation from the state on the gas tax, and it's on a gallon of gas, and the amount of gas being used is going down. So we have a $431 million maintenance backlog in the city. It's been growing over the past 22 years. So we don't gravel, and we don't grade dirt roads, gravel roads. And we do, I wish we would, and I wish we could afford to do that. We do get a fair amount of people who live on dirt roads, though, who say don't make it too flat for the same reasons that you're concerned about in terms of people then using it for shortcuts.
Right.
So I just wanted to share with you, I appreciate your testimony.
Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Charles Rodasta. I live at 11334 Southwest 51st Avenue. I'm only affected by the 51st LID, but I'm here to offer my opposition to both proposals. From a few perspectives, financially, the proposal for 51st LID would have added, I believe it's $35,000 to our price tag, and we've only been in the neighborhood for less than 2 years, so we don't really have a lot of equity built into the house, and that's a pretty good hit for a homeowner as it is for most of my neighbors. So for that reason, I'm definitely opposed to our LID. I'm also concerned about the piecemeal approach of building part of a road. Drainage, I think, is not going to be solved by having a little bit of asphalt at the bottom of a hill and not having a way to treat the road above it, with because it's still going to remain gravel under the 53rd LID. And as has been mentioned before, we really don't have a majority of property owners in favor of either LID. Even the smaller 53rd one is still opposed by a majority of property owners, not counting the park. The third reason I'm opposed to both LIDs is what I view as a little bit of a careless approach by the park bureau to just be automatic in favor. I realize that that's the way the code is written, but to have $305,000 or whatever the number is set aside out of a limited budget and go to a street improvement to me doesn't seem appropriate. We, the taxpayers, raised our property taxes, if I remember right, in 2002 to pay for a variety of park services, and one of them was not public street improvements. And I realize there's other funding sources available, but to me that money could be used for better needs. You know, the Park Bureau website right now actually lists some things that aren't covered by their own funding, and includes ADA accommodations and other vital needs. I feel they're more important. And finally, I'm a little bit concerned about the process in which the 51st LID was brought into this whole equation here. We received a formal petition to form the 51st LID was established first, and we, as we were responding to that, and as it became pretty apparent that it didn't have support, the 53rd LID was brought to the table, and I felt like the 51st LID should have went through, saw this council's approval or disapproval, and then the 53rd LID should have been brought to the table as a new proposal. And I feel like it's been confusing for our neighborhood to have two of them present at the same point and have to respond to both of them under one setting. And I feel like we should have had them separate, address one, and then have the second one be presented as a new, clean example.
Sir, your time is up.
Thank you.
Okay. Hi, I'm Sandy Green, and I have the house at 5224 Southwest Buddington. I purchased the house in 2000 by myself. One of the first things I did was to look at how to get that street improved. And in 2001, I took the initiative and had Buddington and 53rd graded. That street had not been graded until this year when this proposal came up and everyone got riled and then they decided to grade it. So it has gone 7 years without being graded till now.
Did you help pay? Did everyone help pay for
it? Everyone helped pitch in back when I took the initiative in 2001.
How much did it cost everybody? Just out of
curiosity. I really don't remember. I don't remember, Mr. Adams. But my concern about the property is I had an issue where I was dealing with someone that was mentally ill and would do various things, flatten my tires. I got a phone call. That person was in the neighborhood. I had three little girls staying with me, and there was not a thing I could do. There's no street lights out there to even see if that person's around. There was, you know, you can't call the police because nothing's happened. And then also the mailboxes cannot be located in front of our houses. You have to walk down to Capitol Highway to get your mail, which means that the post office won't let us put lucky mailboxes up because you can't move them. So your mail, delivered mail, is vulnerable. You know, you're walking, if you get home late at night, you're walking in dark areas to go get your mail unless you drive to it. And the potholes are very big and deep. Anyway, and the cost, you know, again, as Andrew said, we're several years out from it costing anything. So it's like, you know, you had to replace your sewer, or you need a new roof on your house, or you needed something that's going to cost money, and you need to do it in the next couple years to get it figured out. It's not like you're writing a check today unless it's a big emergency. So anyway, those are my concerns. Like I said, the safety, number one, and then, you know, will the graveling continue if this dies?
Thank you.
Next three are April Ann Fong, Marsha Leslie, and Alan Kinley. And they'll be followed by John Schott, the last person who signed up. That's April Ann Fong, Marsha Leslie, and Alan Kinley. Oh, there. Kinney. Thank you. Sorry.
Welcome. please give us your name for the record, and you each have 2 minutes. We'll start with you, April.
Okay. Hi, my name's April Ann Fong, and I live at 11234 Southwest Capitol Highway, which is paved. Just to speak to your question, I think there are some roads that are more appropriate to put sidewalks and everything on. I mean, this is a gravel road, and I think, you know, something, a major arterial.